Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And then from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude. In your heart, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us pray. O Lord, open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up to what you would have said, heard, and understood this day. For it is in Christ's name that we pray all of these things. Amen. Well, it seems like you can't look at a newspaper, look at a news website or a news app, and there not be stories about conflict. Recently, we've been hearing a lot about the conflict with Russia and the Ukraine and the United States. We hear about conflict with China. For about 2 years now, we have been reading about the conflict between those that are pro-vaccine and those that are anti-vaccine. And for many decades, we've been reading about the conflict between our two major political parties here in the United States, and on and on and on. We see this in the world, in our nation, we see it in our state, and we see it even within the city of Pulaski, and to a certain extent, we see it within this church. It seems like society has gotten to the point where it simply wants to pick a fight as often as it possibly can. We've gotten to a point as a society where we have convinced ourselves that if we are right, and we are right all the time, and anyone else doesn't think the same way as we do, is an idiot and must be giving a tongue lashing to bring them to the correct side. Unfortunately, over the centuries, the church has gotten into the business of conflicts as well. If you look, you know, we call ourselves Protestant, but what makes up being Protestant? You've got Disciples of Christ. You have two flavors of the Presbyterian Church. You have, Lord knows how many Baptist denominations, and on and on and on, all because sometime in our shared past, we hit conflicts that we should not have gotten into and let fester. So out of this conflict, what happens? What are its fruits? Well, nobody listens. No one cares about what anyone else has to say. People are neglected. People are marginalized. Everybody is angry and resentful most of the time. And nothing, almost nothing, ever gets done because we are too busy in conflict. The focus has always been on being number one, no matter what the cost might be. The USA must be number one. We must be the best nation in the world. Virginia must be the best state. First Christian Church of Pulaski must be the best church. We must be A number one here in the town of Pulaski. It's all just a massive game of King of the Hill. And to help us with this, we begin labeling people, things, ideas, and focusing on how to use these labels to divide, to prove superiority. That, my friends, is not what we as the church needs to be doing. The reality is, if you look at the gospel and what Christ did not come to separate. Christ came to bring unity to life, to people, to ideas. We have two passages this morning. Luke has the words of Jesus. Colossians has Paul speaking to the church at Colossae. Both speak of how we are to treat each other. We are to build a unified community that supports its members and looks after their well-being, no matter who they are or what they believe. If you look at Luke, what's the first thing that Jesus tells us? Love your enemies. Yeah, that's a real easy thing to do, isn't it, my friends? To love your enemies. To do good to those who hate you. No way, Pastor. Anybody hates me, I'm going to hate them right back. Ain't that what the golden rule says? He tells us to bless those that curse you. What, are you kidding? If somebody curses me, I'm going to curse them right back. How dare they? Pray for those who hurt you and to turn the other cheek. How many has ever got slapped in the face for whatever reason? Did you want to get your other cheek slapped? Heck no. I'm already stinging on this side. I don't want to be stinging on this other side. Turn the other cheek has a lot of meanings, one of which I think has to do with seeking vengeance and how you should not seek that vengeance. Jesus tells us to give freely. And then the last verse of Luke, verse 31 says, do to others as you would have them do to you. Which we call the golden rule. Notice what it says. It says, do to others as you would have them do to you. It does not say, do to others as they do to you. Goes back to turning the other cheek. it says that no matter how you have been treated, you are called to something higher. You are called to always treat other people like you would be treated. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this from Luke, says, "These are hard lessons to flesh and blood, but if we are thoroughly grounded in the faith of Christ's love, this will make his commands easy to us. Everyone that comes to him for washing in his blood and knows the greatness of the mercy and the love there is in him can say in truth and sincerity, 'Lord, what would thou have me to do?' Let us then aim to be merciful, even according to the mercy of our Heavenly Father to us." Good words. Challenging words. Words that are indeed hard lessons and are hard to swallow. If we look, move to Colossians and see what Paul is saying, Paul starts out, "Be clothed in compassion, in kindness, humility, meekness, patience." Be clothed in it. Be surrounded by it. That's a tough thing to say, isn't it? I mean, to hear. It's a tough thing to say, too, sometimes. Paul is saying, put up with each other. Deal with the people that you come into contact with. He says, forgive each other as Christ has forgiven us. That's a hard thing to do sometimes, especially if it is someone that has hurt us deeply, has done something against us, but we are called to forgiveness. Be clothed in love. Again, Paul's coming back to that clothing. Because love binds everything together in perfect harmony. Or it could also say in perfect unity. Our hearts should be ruled by Christ's teachings. We should be thankful in all things, even in the bad times. We should be thankful that perhaps it wasn't any worse than what it was. Paul tells us to let the words of Christ dwell in us, to correct and teach each other. And I would say to correct and teach in the right mindset. That you are simply not trying to correct someone because they are not doing what you think that they should be doing in the way that they are doing it, but to correct in love. Be grateful. Do everything in the name of Jesus. It's somewhat cliche, but, you know, there was a phrase running around a couple years ago, "What would Jesus do?" What would Jesus do? How would Jesus act in this particular situation? Do everything in the name of Jesus. And again, give thanks to God in all things. Matthew Henry says about this, we must not only do no hurt to anyone, but do what good we can to all. Those who are the elect of God, holy and beloved, ought to be lowly and compassionate towards all. All in this world where there is so much corruption in our hearts. Quarrels will sometimes arise. But it is our duty to forgive one another, imitating the forgiveness through which we are saved. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Thanksgiving to God helps to make us agreeable to all men. Many have the word, but it dwells in them poorly. It has no power over them. Whatever we are engaged in, let us do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in believing dependence on Him. It's very, very tough sometimes. So what if we follow what is said here in these two passages? If we make it as big a part of our lives as we possibly can, what is going to happen? Thanksgiving to God helps us to make us agreeable to all men. Agreeable can mean a couple of things. Agreeable to other people could mean that, you know, we understand each other. But agreeable to men, especially I think, if you also remember what it talks about us teaching and correcting, if we do that in such a way as we're not pointing fingers and saying, shame on you for doing this. If we have the love of Christ, and the way that we speak to other people is in a non-offensive way, shall we say, a non-offensive tone of voice, then we will indeed increase understanding and we will take a step closer to unity of people. We are part of Disciples of Christ. And in our identity statement, part of it says we are disciples of Christ, a movement for wholeness in a fragmented world. We as disciples are in the business of unity. We have a goal to bring unity to the body of Christ and to the world. Now let's be realistic. Are we ever going to get there? No, we're not. However, it is still a journey that is worthy. It is a goal that is worthy to take and pursue. And the only way that we are going to bring about greater unity in the body of Christ and in the world in general is by practicing the virtues that are told to us by Jesus and by Paul in these two passages that we've looked at today. This sermon is called Seeking Unity. It is not obtaining unity. Seeking is a process. This morning in men's Bible study, we were talking about the word wisdom. And what is wisdom? Well, wisdom is knowledge, but Ben shared with us that wisdom is not a static thing. It is moving. As we grow older and we understand things, we gain wisdom. We gain a greater connection. In our case as Christians, when we ask God for wisdom, that's part of it. It's an active thing. Seeking unity for us should be the same thing. It should be an active thing that we are doing every day of our lives. My friends, let us make this effort. Make a concerted effort to take these virtues that we have seen today and let us make an effort to integrate them into our lives. And let me just say, it ain't going to happen tomorrow. But if you keep working on it and you keep thinking, how can I do this? That journey, my friends, is a welcome one. Amen.